producer Franklin McElroy, and welcome to the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. This podcast is about America's most visited national park, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and the surrounding towns. This area is filled with ancient natural beauty, a deep storied history, and rich mountain cultures that we explore with weekly episodes. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, a man of the world, but also with deep roots in these mountains. My family has lived in the Great Smoky Mountains for over 200 years. My business is in travel, but my heart is in culture. Today, we're going to talk about with Kim Ross about the Jay Creek Cloggers, a viral sensation. But first, a few messages and some events. Imagine a place evocative of motor courts of the past, yet modern and vibrant with a chic Appalachian feel, a place for adventure and for relaxation. Imagine a place where you can fish in a mountain heritage stream, grill the catch on a fire, and enjoy it with fine wines and craft beers. And imagine a place with that old-time music and world cultural sounds. There is no other place like the Metal Ark Motel in Maggie Valley. Your Smoky Mountain adventures start with where you stay. Another sponsor is SmokiesAdventure.com. That's Smokies, plural, adventure, singular.com. The Smoky Mountains and surrounding area is a vacation destination for all seasons. Some of the nation's best hiking trails, waterfalls, outdoor adventures, and family entertainment can be found right here. Start your adventure by using SmokiesAdventure.com to explore all the wonderful features of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the trails, the waterfall, Cave Cove, and the elk, and more. Then check out all the awesome things you can do here, like the family attractions, family entertainment, great restaurants. It's become a foodie heaven, and that your entire family can enjoy. And if you have outdoor life events you want to do, like an outdoor wedding or an interesting honeymoon, a romantic getaway, check out SmokiesAdventure.com, the leading information portal for having fun in the Smoky Mountains. So events coming up. In 2 weeks, on July 9th, we have Wild Crafting and Mother Nature's Natural Garden Program with legendary Isla Hatcher. It starts at 10 a.m. on July 9th. And it features Isla, who's a legendary wildcrafting expert, renowned author, filmmaker, instructor, and tour guide for the Great Smoky Mountains National Park Field School. She is an expert on edible plants, medicinal herbs, and anything pertaining to wildcraft foraging and Appalachian plants, trees, and flowers. She has been featured on television, print, radio, and all sorts of things. And she is an iconic female that will soon be featured, of the Smokies, will soon be featured in one of our themed rooms. She will be presenting her beloved program called Mother Nature's Natural Gardening, which is about foraging and the natural herbs and things that are in these mountains. And then she's going to lead a short tour of on the grounds of the Metal Ark Motel and the area, our surrounding area, to forage for nature's bounty and to make something of that. And you can learn how to find great things in your own backyard. Then the event culminates with a barbecue supper and music by Mike Ogletree and his friends on Saturday evening. The admission is just $20 per person for who are not guests, but guests and Heritage Club members are free. So that's July 9th, starting at 10 a.m. Be sure to call 828-926-1717 to get your space. Now, on July 30th, and this is relevant to this program, you guys got to come, but we're going to have the Jay Creek Cloggers, the viral sensation, here dancing from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. out at the Pavilion. And it's a great mountain heritage event. And it'll also include the barbecue dinner on Saturday night, starting at, if you come early, at 6, and then the dancing and music will start at 7:30. The Jay Creek Cloggers will perform multiple examples of traditional mountain dancing, as well as teaching the audience several fun dance steps. group leader, Kim Ross, who's here with me now, will also give a short talk on the history and traditions of mountain dancing. Grab your partner and come and join us for a memorable, fun-filled evening with dining and dancing. The admission is free for motel guests, as it always is, and Heritage Club members, and $20 per person for people that just want to come and have a night out on the and enjoying some mountain heritage. Again, call 828-926-1717 to get your spot. And then also reserve a room if you want to stay overnight. And then August 12th through the 13th, we're having a great songwriters camp here. And it's going to feature some Grammy Award-winning artists, like Jim Lauderdale, who's a legendary songwriter, wrote a lot of George Strait's hits. And Charles Humphrey III, who's another Grammy Award-winning winner, along with other award-winning artists like Darren Nicholson of Balsam Range, Clay Mills, and Charles Chamberlain. It's an event. If you're interested in writing songs, you cannot get a better education than these guys are going to be able to give you. It's a two-day event of interactive story writing instruction with world-class musicians, and they will also help you produce a demo tape and have a takeaway of a demo tape. And then you'll have some concert by songs from this road band on Friday night, and then on Saturday night there will be a barbecue dinner and an all-star concert of all these guys, making it a unique event like no other. And space is very limited. So the price is $675 per person for the education and demo tape and the fun. And there's also tickets available for just the concerts. Call 828-926-1717 to get your space. Reserve a room or just reserve the position at the camp and come and really experience something that you're not going to find many times in your life. So today we were talking about the Jay Creek Cloggers. Well, we have the founder of the Jay Creek Cloggers here, Kim Ross. Kim Ross Woody has firmly entrenched in the Southern Appalachians, a native of Snowflake, Virginia, not far from the historic Carter family fold and the birthplace of country music on the Tennessee-Virginia border. Kim grew up loving old-time music, Appalachian culture, and especially traditional mountain dancing. Today, she resides with her family in Waynesville, North Carolina, and perpetuates her family legacy by managing and dancing with the iconic Jay's Creek Cloggers. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been an exciting time for you.
Oh, it has. Yeah, it's been overwhelming the past 2 months. Yeah. So.
Well, we'll get into the viral sensation, but let's find a little bit about your background.
Okay.
You know, I like to find out more about our guests and, you know, their history and their love for Appalachian culture.
Well, I grew up, like you said, in Snowflake, Virginia, which is about 2 hours from here across the Kingsport, Tennessee line, Scott County, Virginia, southwestern Virginia part, home to Mother Maybelle Carter. She was actually born in Scott County in Nicholsville, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows them, AP and Sarah Carter. Mother Maybelle went on, of course, with the musics and the recordings in Bristol. But the historic Carter family fold is in Hilton's, Virginia, and it started in the 70s. They preserve old style and bluegrass music, and it's all acoustic.
Uh-huh.
Nothing, you know, can be plugged in. They want the real deal, stringed instruments. And you'll see some of the finest flatfoot and buck dancing. They come from all over the world just to come to this one place, which is practically a huge barn.
Really?
Yes. And it can hold, I think, about 2,000 people every Saturday night. They have a live show with different bands, either bluegrass or old time. But if you look up Carter Family Fold on the internet, you'll see their show schedule.
Cool. That's in Snowflake, right?
Nope. That's in Hilton's, Virginia.
Oh, Hilton.
Still in the same county, Scott County, Virginia. Snowflake was part of that, and Nicholsville's part of that county where Mother Maybelle Carter was born.
Why was your town called Snowflake?
I'm not sure. I think there was maybe 60 houses there at one time, but they said the elevation, we got a little more snow. The houses, I was told, was painted white.
Mm-hmm.
And then the purity of the people that lived there. But I love Snowflake. I still go back and visit when I can. And all the roads, that you've got like bobsled road, jingle bell road. So, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so they have some kind kind of, you know, frosty roads, some kind of names for it. Yeah.
Is it a little bit of a tourist destination, or is it just out of the way?
Hilton's is. Snow Lake, not as much, but if you go on up into Nicholsville, they have a famous restaurant. It's just a little restaurant called Teddy's, and people do come from all over to eat some of their home-cooked meals.
So, all right. That's like Joey's here, right?
From right, yeah.
So this Carter Fold, did you go there often as a child?
I did. Once I hit my teenage years, I did a lot, and the people there are just fine people, and then to see the others come from Ireland, China, Japan, everywhere, just to be a part of the Carter family history, because Johnny Cash, of course, married June Carter.
Right.
So you have that involvement. He did come to the Carter Fold. He actually had a house they stayed in not far from the Carter Fold.
Did you get to see it?
I did.
All right.
Actually, I got to see his last performance, to my knowledge, was at the Carter Fold before he passed away. And I was there. Yes.
You know that Johnny Cash actually came to Maggie Valley.
Oh, wow.
And my grandmother, the first woman broker, real estate broker in the state of North Carolina, actually showed him around and showed him property.
Wow.
Right? Wow. He was, I don't know why he was in. It was probably interesting because Ghost Town was here.
Right.
And they had a number of movie stars come here and started doing stuff. And they were doing lots of entertainment at the time. So that's probably why he was in there. I don't know the full story, but I do remember, they're telling me that part. Yeah.
Well, they were very down to earth. And John Jr., I know when he was younger, before he had married, my friend and I actually were on the floor dancing.
Mm-hmm.
We were clogging. He got out. He was shuffling around, you know, having a good time. But they were very down to earth people. But I can't say enough about the Carter Fold because they're trying to preserve. Joe and Jeanette, the ones that had built the Carter Fold, they have passed away. And Jeanette's daughter, Rita, is running it now.
Oh, cool.
But it's wonderful because they're preserving, you know, old time music, bluegrass music, the history behind it. Johnny Cash's rocking chairs up there in the cabin floor.
Wow.
So there's a lot of history. They have a museum.
Wow.
And it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere. Practically what I call a cow pasture.
So. There you go. Well, listen, we got to take a break now.
Okay.
All right. We'll come back and we'll talk about your history. All right.
Sounds good.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast and my guest, Kim Ross. So, Kim, you must have started learning to dance pretty young, right?
Well, I grew up in a family that danced. My dad was actually a tenant farmer. His family was growing up. So they didn't own the land, but they worked the land for people in Nicholsville. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the best flat footers I've ever seen. They actually would put him up on a box. I've heard the stories as a child, and people would throw nickels, and he would make money for his family that way. So I grew up flat footing and just grew up in a family. I never had lessons, didn't know that there were certain names for movements. But yeah, and then of course going to the Carter Fold just was a big influence.
That was a big influence. Yes. Yeah, I identify with that. You know that. We had the Playhouse here, and we had Raymond Fairchild lives
yes.
here.
Yes.
So I would, I grew up going to the Playhouse and just learning to do something. Yeah. Now I can't do anything fancy. I told you before, I can't even do the double tap, but I know how to, shuffle around
right.
pretty good.
As long as you have fun, that's
okay. And in New York City, I can fake it pretty good.
Yeah. They didn't know.
So, but there are some pretty good dancers up there. So most people did.
Yeah.
So, well, it's good, But you eventually moved here to Haywood County.
Yes. About 30 some years ago, I was just, I was young and just wanting to see different places. And I'm in the medical field. So I got on at St. Joseph's Hospital there in Asheville. And I went to a street dance that Joe Sam Queen was calling
all that time back
in the day.
Wow.
And I met the boy's father up there at a street dance a long time ago and stayed, of course, mm-hmm. and had two children and homeschooled them.
Right.
Zeb and Levi Ross. And during the homeschooling time, because I did them from start to finish, I wanted them to learn, about dance and music. They actually play music. They had a band, too. And about 13 years ago, I started my dance team, of course, and it was from that. And plus preserving what I call traditional freestyle dance.
Right.
I wanted to carry it on and teach my kids and educate them. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a lost art if we don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're going to promote it here because I believe in it too very much.
Yeah.
So 30 some years ago, you came here
yes.
and started getting immersed in dance culture.
Yes.
As an aside, I love that Haywood County and Boca County have live
yes.
Friday nights. Waynesville has live street dances during the warm months.
Right.
And then Asheville has the shindig on the green.
And then I know in Canton they have Picking in the Park on Friday nights
too.
So it's a wide variety.
So the dancing in the streets is being maintained big time.
It is. And it's great. Yeah. Especially post COVID now, people want to get out and they're enjoying it. And one thing that my team does is actually teach. We'll get the audience out and teach them these routines and some of the footwork, and they love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So I know that you're immersed in the history of this now, right?
Yes.
In fact, I saw you did a podcast on the history of clogging in Haywood County. Can you give me like the 1 minute spiel about how
it started? I'll try to do it real quick. In the 20s, the dance teams really started here in Haywood County. And right. then Joe Sam Queen's family was big for that too, big into that part. And in 1939, FDR was in office. King and Queen of England was on the way to Canada. He wanted to catch them to talk about Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got them there, and I think it's been their only visit here ever, he brought in the Coon Creek Girls, all-female string band, and Soco Gap Cloggers, which were from Haywood County.
Mm-hmm.
So they represented up there, danced for the King and Queen. He fed them hot dogs.
Right.
And they later said it was dubbed the picnic that won the war because they did ally with us later with Germany. I've always said Haywood County is huge. The dance team competitions and teams started here, and then Baskin Lamar Lunsford mm-hmm. with in Asheville with the Shindig and the Smoky Mountain Folk Festival.
Yeah.
And then the team dances competitions and then going to the White House. Mm-hmm. What more could you ask?
No.
And we're trying to preserve that because it was freestyle dance, which means footwork's all unique.
And in the 80s and 90s, we had a lot of the world champions here.
Yes.
The Burton Edwards family.
Yes, Stomping Grounds. Yes.
Stomping Grounds is still around.
Oh, yeah. We're there on Saturday nights, some Saturday nights. It used to be open 6 days a week.
I know.
Stomping Grounds.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. But, Kyle's a little, he's 90 now, so.
I'd say he's probably, I guess, 80s maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, and he, And he still keeps it going, the inside of that building's beautiful. Best place to go dancing is what I say.
Cool.
Yes.
So you started the J Creek Foggers.
J Creek, yep.
Foggers.
Which is short for Jonathan Creek.
Which runs right in the back of the motel and goes all the way down what's called Jonathan Creek.
Right.
Formal. Yeah.
So in perspective, if people are on I-40, it's the exit 20 Maggie Ballade exit. You can come off and Jonathan Creek runs that whole thing and then comes on into Maggie. But most of us were from that area when I started the team 13 years ago. Yeah. So
I grew up there too. So
I'm
pretty proud of that. J Creek and Maggie Ballade.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it was most of it. So, you said you wanted to preserve the culture, but was there any kind of catalyst that said, just do this?
Well, I just, preserving the culture, it's also a good social means because I was homeschooling my children too at the time, And to see now that we've grown from 6 to 8 people when I started to 35, 40 people.
Wow.
And a lot of them are teenagers who have set their electronics aside, which is a miracle in this day and time, to come and learn the culture. Learn the dance and be educated on it, and they want to do it. So I love it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's, I think that, dance has become popular in our culture again.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden now, each routine has a meaning when you do rights and lefts and other things. There's a meaning behind that. So, and I teach that to the people on the team.
But, I thought was interesting looking at, I haven't seen you live yet, but you're going to be here until July 30th.
Yep, July
30th. So
I'll be
there.
Yeah.
And you're going to teach my little 3.5-year-olds to clog,
we will,
right?
We will, because we're big on audience participation. Yeah. We want to involve everybody.
Yeah. So, but you get the audience directly involved by teaching them traditional steps and teaching them about history of each of the styles, right?
Yes, we do, because there's buck dance and there's flatfoot, and the clogging word, actually the Queen of England coined that when she was over here visiting. She said that looks a lot like clogging.
Uh-huh.
So the clogging sort of got coined by her, but I started out flatfoot, which I still do. It's an old style athlete.
What is the difference between flatfoot and clogging?
You keep your, with flatfoot, and you keep your feet 2 inches from the floor, no more.
Right.
It's mostly your lower body that works, your legs, and very little movement from your upper body, whereas buck dancing is more exaggerated.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of movement, and you bring your feet more than 2 inches off the floor.
Uh-huh.
So sort of what my son Zeb does is more what we call butt dancing. So.
Now, did flat footing come out of a Scottish-Irish tradition?
I think it's a mix. Even the Cherokee have movements like us. And then you get back in the mountains, you can even tell people who are from Canton by the style of dance versus people from Clyde or Waynesville. It's really cool. So a lot of it's just based out of the towns you live in.
Oh, really? Yeah. Every town's got a different one.
Yes, it does.
I mean, I think Burton Edwards created a sort of a style here, right?
He did. Yeah, he did. He was, he was famous for putting the water cup on his head and dancing too without it falling off.
Oh, really?
Yes. He did a great job with that. Yeah.
Wow. You already explained how clogging came about, right?
Right.
Is that why, because she said that?
It just was coined that, far as the movement was similar to what they did, I think, in England. But we have our own style of flatfoot and butt dance here. And I tell people that. And we have people on the team that strictly flatfoot.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that strictly butt dance. We have people that combine the two.
Yeah.
So it's really nice because we're freestyle, which means we're not in unison with our footwork, but we're in the same beat.
Now, there's another style called stomp dancing. What is that?
I'm not sure. I think that's just more where they both do a lot of stomping.
A lot of percussion.
I think so. Everybody's got different names for things.
Yeah. I knew clog dancing. I knew flatfooting wasn't as much prevalent when I was growing up. It was clogging or buck dancing.
Buck dance, right.
That's what I knew about when I was.
And there's so many names. I mean, I might do a step and somebody says that's whatever, and I'm like, I didn't grow up with names. I just grew up dancing, and everybody has coined little movements. So there's multiple names out there for stuff.
So you started this 13 years ago,
yes.
Which means you got into the mix, right?
Yes.
And you've been, I guess, then you've been performing all over North Carolina at the various festivals like Folk Moot and others.
Yeah, all over. We've been to the Mayberry Days for Andy Griffith down in Mount Airy. We go into Virginia and dance, Tennessee, South Carolina, and that's before anything went viral.
So right.
We were, going around, and we wear different color. We don't have a set uniform. Ours are more traditional kind of outfits and lots of color.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite festivals? What are the ones you recommend people go see?
Oh, wow, there's so many of them. I know we have one coming up in Dillsboro, actually, that I love. It's coming up, I think, July 15th. And then the Mount Airy one, the Mayberry
Days. What's it called?
Dillsboro, I think it's just the Arts and Crafts Festival, and they have us there. And I believe it's July 15th. We'll be in Pigeon Forge this coming weekend.
All right.
And we have a big thing coming up July 9th that I'm excited about. First time ever we're doing it. It's on a Saturday, 1 to 3, a meet and greet.
You get to
Stomping Grounds.
Oh, the Stomping Grounds. Cool.
You get to meet the team, have pictures made with us, and get out and dance with us.
And what time is that?
1 to 3 o'clock.
One to three.
Yeah.
Well, come at 10 a.m. to go to Isle of Hatter, learn how to forage.
There you go.
And then go over there and then come back for a barbecue meal.
By then, we'll be ready to eat.
Right? Sure. Yeah. So that's a day of it, everybody. We got a fabulous day for you.
Well, I tell you, one of the other festivals that was awesome is Darnell Farms. Uh-huh. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but oh my goodness, they have the Strawberry Festival.
Yeah.
And we'll be at the Watermelon Festival coming up. So there's just too many to name.
Oh, my God. There's the Apple Festival, the Ramp Festival.
We did the Ramp Festival. Yeah. Joe St. Queen's got the Smoky Mountain Festival. I think it's coming back this year at Lake Genoa.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's going to have it, I believe, in August. Yes.
That's fabulous. Yeah, we do have a lot of it. I mean, you ever want to come to a county where you get festivaled out?
That's exactly.
Here it is,
it
right?
Is. Yeah. Yeah, they have something, which is great. It's great. So
yeah. So, and as any venues, you love the Stomping Ground, right?
Oh, yeah. I love the Stomping Grounds.
But any other venues in Western North Carolina that you think are just fabulous?
Well, I do love going into Andrews to Jimmy's Pick and Grin.
Oh,
and
really?
It's not as well known, I don't think, but they have awesome music, a fiddle player, and he's on Saturday nights, too. So we don't get to go out as often because we're at the Stomping Ground.
Okay.
So, yeah. And wherever the Mile High Band is, I love going there too. Don't know if you know them, but those guys are awesome. So I have to say a shout out to them.
There you go. Cool. Well, we have to take another break, but we'll come back now and talk about the virus event.
Cool.
Howdy. I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
This is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. My guest, Kim Ross. So, you know, Kim, I'm impressed by, you don't necessarily do this for a living, but you do it for passion.
Yes.
And you've been involved, in sharing knowledge, sharing the passion for this dance and this music. And I think that's fabulous. And I think you're doing a lot to dispel the dispel the dumb hillbilly stereotypes. Speaking of which, you're going to play at Hillbilly Jam, right?
We are. I believe it's July 23rd. It'll be out here at the Maggie Valley Fairgrounds, and we'll be there, I think, at 6 o'clock dance, and I'm really excited.
Yeah.
This is our first time being at this event. So
yeah, Hillbilly Jam is a great event. Huge stars come there. People should definitely
lots of bands, you know, but we'll be dancing there, I think, for about an hour off and on.
But recently, right, that hillbilly myth has been hit, been dispelled hard. You guys became essentially world famous due to a video of your son, Zeb.
Yes, a TikTok video.
Of him dancing with the Jay Creek Cloggers, and it went viral. Tell me about that.
Okay, so we were at Darnell Farms in Bryson City in March. Doing our thing, just dancing as usual. And somebody approached, Jason Jordan, I think was his name, approached Zeb. We didn't know him. It was from Georgia visiting. He said, can I film you all? And we're used to being filmed all the time. So I filmed. And about a week later, you know, I got woke up in the middle of the night and said, your son's went viral. And I thought, oh, is he sick? Is he a viral? I had no clue. And they're like, no, check out TikTok. I said, I don't know what TikTok is. Don't know what Instagram is. So I got a TikTok account. I saw it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's not the music that we were banjo and fiddle. And they put it to the hot stepper.
Yeah.
You know, which was cool. And I thought, man, this is really neat. And then somebody named Eggs Tyrone on Instagram. I finally got an account in April, and he's like, I've been looking for you guys. He put I'm a Thug by Trick Daddy. And so he did that. You know, and I'm like, oh my goodness. So 2 months in, we're at 127,000 followers on Instagram and millions upon millions of hits through all these videos. And it's just been, it's been almost overwhelming. I had to bring my niece in because I know nothing about, other than Facebook. Right. That's the only social media I ever knew.
Well, that's what we grew up with. I mean, we were there in the 2000s, so
yeah, it was like,
that's our demographic.
Yeah, I don't know TikTok and all that other stuff.
Well, I'm on TikTok now, and I did have one video going to get 50,000 views, but you've
good
had
for you.
You've had 100 million views.
Oh,
right?
My goodness. We've had hundreds upon millions, and they just keep coming. Yeah. And we've shot several music videos with up-and-coming artists now, been in commercials. Products are being sent to us now, you know, to try on, and it's been really cool.
It's been fabulous. And your son Zeb has become an internet icon, and he's got a new nickname. What is that?
The Legend. They call him the Legend.
Oh, really?
Zeb Ross. Yes. And I'll tell you who coined that. Charles Ryan from American Song, that Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg put on television, came and shot a video with us to his new Boot Goofin' song, and he coined Zeb the Legend. That's where it came from, and everybody on social media just started calling him that. So that's what we're
doing. The Legend Zeb.
And he does not have Instagram. Everybody keeps asking. He's under the Jay Creek Cloggers because that's who he is. He's a machinist by trade.
And he's not an internet guy.
No, he puts in 10, 12-hour shifts through the week, and he's loving it.
And you guys have. You have coined a firm called term called the hillbilly crip walking. What is that?
Well, they had mentioned, some of them had reached out and they're like, well, he's sea dancing or he's crip walking. I'm like, I'm not sure, you know, he's bug dancing. But I guess in different environments, that's what they call it, because he does do, funny stuff with his feet is what I call it. We call him the spaghetti man.
Right.
He's just all over the place. So we call it the hillbilly crip dancing man or crip walk. Yeah.
Well, I saw a video of him doing it, and he said it looks like a broken ankle thing.
It does. He can do that, but then he comes out and does with his feet.
Yeah.
And it's just like he's floating on air. And if you notice, his upper body movement doesn't move as much, and that would be the flat foot part of it. But his feet's doing more buck dancing and other stuff.
So. And he said the secret was he's actually on his toes.
He's on his toes the whole time.
And
it's just like he's gliding, you know, and having the mullet, and then his smile is just infectious.
Yeah.
So it's just all rolled into one, and it went viral.
And you've gotten to perform on stage with superstars like Brian Kelly, Ryan Charles of
Ryan
American
Charles.
Style.
And then Brandon Bean came. He has a new hit out called Blue Collar Squalor, and he did the whole video here inside the Stomping Grounds.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. He's got a new one come out, I think, Don't Take My Land, coming out Monday.
Oh, cool.
Next week. Yep.
And and you've managed to still stay true to your roots here, right?
We have. We already had bookings before we went viral. We're not turning those down. We've had multiple offers, but we're going to fulfill everything we have. Mm-hmm. We're all about preserving tradition.
Well, you booked here after you got that.
Yes.
Because we're in Maggie Valley,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Because we're in your homes. That thing, and we really appreciate that.
Yes. We had that date open, too, so yeah, it worked really well.
It worked really well.
I think we got an event earlier that day, and then, of course, this, so it went well. But we, you know, we're all what I call blue-collar workers. All of us have real jobs, from roofers to the machinists to medical field. And we just do this because we love it and we want to preserve. I think it's considered Americana now, what we do.
Yeah. Because you do, because you mixed in this hip hop.
I know, now he's mixed in hip hop. I'm like, I can't wait.
You're now Americana.
I mean, they've got him to Stayin' Alive, and I think there's one to Disturbed, Down with the Sickness, maybe.
Oh, right.
It's fun to watch. And he's in these, I think they're called memes. I was calling them memes. I didn't know. But memes, he's in all kinds of stuff now.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. That's a poor kid.
And when did he start dancing?
Oh, when he does interviews, he's like, I was dancing in my mama's belly because I danced right up until I gave birth to both of my kids. But probably when he was 6 or 7, he took an interest. And then when he was a teenager, when I started the team, he really immersed himself in it.
Really?
And I taught him what I knew, but I said, you need to find your own unique style with your footwork. Mm-hmm. That's what makes us unique. And we're freestyle dancers. And he did.
Yeah, he just did it on his own.
He did. Right. He just, you know, he came up with his own little thing that he wanted to do. And you see a lot of that during what we call our rise and shine, which means our show off portion of our routine.
Right.
And that's when you get to go out there and do your thing in front of everybody.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was in New York, back in the day, it's different now, but back in the day, men didn't really, in a lot of places in the United States, didn't get up and dance by themselves, right?
Right, yeah.
And I grew up buck dancing, right?
Yeah.
And I was, I would say, I'm from Hayward County where men are not afraid to get up and dance
themselves. Right. That's exactly, and we find that as we go that people are really, at first, they're not sure if they want to get up, but once they see other people and they jump in, they have a blast. They don't want to sit back down.
Right.
You know, they're having fun. And that's what it's all about.
And how does a typical show go where you teach people things like that? How does it start out? Do you do some performance first?
Well, right. We usually do. At Darnell Farms, we have a 2-hour show, but most of our shows are an hour long. Mm-hmm. So we go out and do a performance. I speak a little bit, another performance, and then we get the audience involved. And my husband's a professional square dance caller.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll get them out, teach them the circle ups, and then I do a little educational talk. Mm-hmm. And then we end it with a performance.
Cool.
So they get fully immersed in everything we do. And plus they get to meet all of the dance team, all of us. And we always call it our social circle of friendship.
Yeah.
We want everybody to come out there and have fun.
And it could be as kids as young as,
three, we've
right?
had one of the children that started with me was 2 years old, and she's, I think, 12 or 13 now. Yeah.
Because I've got a 30-year-old son. I should get him here to dance. But, but I do have 3.5-year-old twins, right? And Anya, my daughter, is already doing ballet classes.
Ballet.
She loves the class. But he likes to get up and just freestyle.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And that's the perfect age.
Yeah. You know?
Get them to where they're not bashful or anything. And one thing about the team I'll say is we come from all walks of life, politically, everything else. We leave it at the table and we come from the fellowship, the music and dance.
Yeah.
And we've made it work for 13 years.
Yeah.
Just having a good time and enjoying life together.
So. Well, that's good. Now, do you have any videos or recordings or anything that you've done yourselves?
We have somebody on the team, Vicky, that actually records most of our performances. And so they're on Facebook, J Creek Cloggers, Instagram, J Creek Cloggers, TikTok, J Creek Cloggers. So there's plenty of videos out there.
Mm-hmm.
But people have been taking them and dubbing over. So a lot of the music you hear is not even what we're dancing to,
right.
Which has been fun. They've had us from everything to heavy metal to ballet music.
Now, with this viral event, how have you been handling it? I mean,
I was overwhelmed at first because I'm handling 3,000 comments a day, direct message and everything else. We grew so fast. I brought in my niece from Kingsport, Tennessee, Maddie, who's getting her degree in media to help with Instagram. My son's wife is doing the merchandise part. And so, I have people on the team that are helping. So We're handling it now, but it was overwhelming. I was ready to flush my phone in the toilet.
Now, with all viral events, you got to have a few haters. How's that?
We've had a couple of negative.
Yeah, but not bad?
No, not bad at all. You know, it's been, I was amazed because I wasn't sure, you know, but no, it's been, I would say 99% positive.
Right.
So, you know, and you're always going to have a few that come out and say something. They're like, you know, he's got a big belly. Well, when we start dancing, within 2 weeks, he's lost probably 20 pounds. Once we get back into our dancing.
Right, right.
And everybody's like, oh, he's losing weight now. I'm like, yeah,
well, that's just, that's from clogging. Well,
it's a good cardio.
Off season, you gain a little weight. Off season, yeah.
And we're big eaters.
Yeah.
We're big eaters.
And, you know, you're Hayward County.
That's exactly
there ain't a place here that ain't carb heavy.
Hey, we eat. When we gather, we eat. So.
Yeah. Even the fine dining, the plate's about this big.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But I've been very blessed because Hilda and Vicky, one does videos, one does pictures on the dance team. They donate their time. So we've got the, you know, perfect mix of people.
Now, how is Zeb handling this newfound fame?
Well,
you say he's down to earth, but he's got to be mobbed at some of that.
He is. Now that people notice him, they come running up and they want pictures made, and he's had to learn how to balance that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, some people want to talk for 20 minutes and we have a performance coming up. Once it's done, you're going to have to learn how to be nicely talk to them and then tell them you've got a performance and you can come back and talk a little later.
Right.
But he wasn't sure how to handle everything at the beginning. I mean, he's like, I'm nobody special. I said, well, you're special now, you know, you just went viral. So, but he's doing well and the team's doing well because a lot of people recognize the team when we're out now too. So,
Now, is the team incorporating any of the stuff that Zed does into?
No, they're all unique. Yeah, everybody's got their own unique footwork. So we have several teenagers. We have excellent dancers on the team. He just happened to be the one, I guess, at the moment
the music was right.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So they've all we're very family oriented, and that's the way we've stayed. Nothing's really changed with us as a team. We're still the goofy people we always were, you know, enjoying life. So.
But it has to affect, you know, some vision of what your performances are going to be or what your content's going to be.
We know that there's bigger stuff on the horizon that I can't talk about yet. So we're going to probably buckle down a little bit on some exactly what we're going to be doing. And nothing's going to change with the performances, but maybe just make sure the flow is there. You know, I'm asking questions at each event. What do you expect of us? How long are the, you know, is it an hour performance? What would you like to see? How would you like us to dress? You know, sometimes we're in overalls for the men, sometimes blue jeans. So, there's your overalls. And overalls are really
I wear these in New York City, too.
Yeah, there you go. And the women's in dresses and crinolines. Yeah. So, it's fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take the last break here and then come back and talk a little bit about more of the things that you're doing and
Sounds good. All right.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
All pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
this is Joseph Franklin McElroy back with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. My guest, Kim Ross. And Kim, you know, you're a dancer and you're a medical transcription
stuff. Yes.
I read that you also had a pottery business for a while.
I did. I had Ross Pottery. I was in the Grove Arcade in Asheville and did a lot of local shows.
Oh, that's a beautiful
place. Oh, it is a beautiful place. And she, it was called Mountain Maid. I think it's still there. And she does local, you know, to the within, I think, a 100-mile radius or something to North Carolina. But, yeah, I loved it. I did freeform style and then the wheel. And loved it, but when this went viral, I have not had time, and I sold all my equipment 4 weeks ago.
So you went all in on that.
I did. Well, between my job and just running the regular clogging team, and now that this one's went viral, it's just, you know, I'm spending 7 hours a day since the viral thing, just trying to keep up with the messages.
But how did the haptic experience of making pottery, how did that translate into your dance or vice versa? Were there any crossover in the arts?
Maybe so, just from, you know, the form. I don't know, because I'm all about movement, and pottery is all about movement. So some of my stuff, especially with the color variations I had, I'm a very colorful person. Mm-hmm. And you can tell in the outfits I wear when I clog. But my pottery would have, it could be yellows, orange, purples, blues, all mixed everywhere. But, yeah, I would say just the movement of the pottery. And, again, homeschooling the boys, I put them into pottery classes with me at Good Earth over in Hazelwood. I don't think that studio's there anymore.
Yeah.
But Bob was a great teacher. I'm left-handed, so he had a little bit of a harder time teaching me. I don't think like other people think. Yeah. You know, but I loved doing the pottery. And, again, it was another avenue for the boys, you know. Uh-huh. And then they had their little band and the dance team, but I sold everything.
Well, you know, we had Corey Plott here, Bob's nephew.
Oh yeah, he's great.
A couple weeks ago, and he did a class, a whole half day on pottery, and my 3.5-year-old twins came here, and they actually paid attention for an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness!
Can you imagine
their age,
actually were there, involved, paying attention, listening, even asking questions, getting their hands. Wow. They made little pots and stuff like that. Pottery is something that sings to
awesome.
Children, right?
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's part of the earth, I always say, you know, and a lot of them get the clay that's local from Buncombe County, you know, high water clays out there. So, but yeah, I loved it, but I was ready to
move on.
Yeah, right. I can't do everything.
Is there any place you can still get any of your leftover pottery? It's all gone.
It's gone.
So if you can find some of her pottery somewhere, it's now collector editions.
That's right. Yeah. It might be worth something else.
Right. So you know, this podcast is also just about getting the Smokies and stuff in general. And I like to have the guests talk about other things that they enjoy. I know you like hiking, right?
I love it. We go up Sunburst a lot and in pink beds, graveyard fields, different places. My husband, we even get off and just don't even follow a trail. He was very young. He's 65 now, but he knows all about up in that area. And then fishing.
Right.
I'm a photographer too, so I still do some photography, just of the family mainly. And then when we come out, we like to go to the Pioneer Restaurant over there in Clyde.
Oh, really?
That's
a good restaurant. That's a long time.
I really like the Pioneer. You know, it's been around a really long time. And then a peanut butter milkshake from Sonic.
Peanut butter milkshake from Sonic.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
We'll go to Sonic for the peanut butter milkshake.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if I wanted to take my twins out, you know, they're only 3.5. They can't walk along. What would be the best family friendly hiking trail to take them on?
Well, like I said, I'm big into Sunburst because there's a pull off right there at the campground. Uh-huh. You can pull in right there or to the left of the road and walk right down to the water. It's an easy walk. And then to the right of the campground, it's an easy walk too. It's just, you know, it's flat.
Yeah.
So I would suggest there. I'm real familiar with the place and love it back in there.
And being a photographer, what would you say is one of the best places to go take photographs?
Oh, wow. I like Devil's Courthouse.
Uh-huh.
Sunburst again, I've done. And just any of the local places, Jonathan Creek, any of the waterways. SoCo's got gorgeous views up here too. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, just anywhere.
The most photographed view in the Smokies.
There you go.
There's an old place. There's still the old sign up there that was, actually, it's a beautiful view down through the valley.
There's so many places here that are just beautiful. I live up on Potlake, way up on the mountain, and we have a gorgeous view. Yeah. Sometimes we'll be in a fog bank and everybody else below us is like,
So we're getting close. So what's the future for the Jake McClarters?
I don't know. We're taking it day by day. We've had lots of offers from television shows to all kinds of stuff. And we sit down either as a team or a family and discuss each thing. Some people just want Zeb. Mm-hmm. Some people want the whole team. So.
Right.
So we'll see.
Well, the whole team was in that viral video.
They were. And sometimes I just want him because I guess the legend Zeb went viral for Charles Ryan. So we just take it day by day,
Cool.
Yeah, we're just taking our time, not rushing into anything. Don't want to make any mistakes because we're still a family. We want to stay that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I was saying before, nobody is prepared for viral day.
No.
I was back in the day. I had one of the first viral videos. Uh-huh. And you're never prepared for it. And then afterwards, you feel like you didn't leverage it enough, right? So you feel guilty. But I'm telling you right now, no matter what happens, just enjoy the moment.
We are. We're here for
and,
the ride.
And there's no way to be prepared for it.
No.
And there's no way to figure out how to leverage it. The leveraging, it's like it happened by luck in a lot of ways.
Right. That's exactly.
Meaning skill. Luck meant skill, right? And whatever you do with it, is really just about luck.
And as long as we're still having fun and we're together, you can't put a dollar sign on friendship or family.
Yeah.
And I've always said that I would rather have my friends and family than money any day.
Yeah.
And if it's going to, I'll walk away from something that's going to cause a problem. So.
And you always have that in your pocket and say, well, we were viral video.
Yeah.
100 millions of people.
That's exactly right.
That's worthwhile.
We brought vlogging back for a while, maybe some of the education and, people that had never heard of it or seen it from other countries are all excited.
Well, I think I've heard that suburban kids are learning how to clog, do the hillbilly crib walk.
There you go. We started.
That's great. So how can people find out more about you?
Okay. They can call me. I'll get my phone number.
Sure, whatever you want to.
Okay. 828-734-0873. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook is J Creek Cloggers, and that's the letter J. And then kcrwjcc@gmail.com.
Okay.
So there's a couple of ways you can get up with us.
All right, cool.
And we're on Instagram and Facebook. All that's on there, too.
So. Yeah. And don't forget, July 30th, they're going to be at the Middle Ark Motel.
Yes.
Both the dancing and teaching a little bit,
yes,
right?
They
and,
are.
And I'll be here trying to put on a good foot, and I'll get my little twins out there. And maybe my wife will stand up.
We want everybody involved. I mean, we do a lot of fun, even a broom dance.
Right.
So you'll have to be that.
A broom dance?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a social dance, slow music. Very fun.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I'm ready for it.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure for you. And congratulations on your viral success.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's always worthwhile.
Oh, I think.
And I look forward to your event on the 30th and maybe again in November, right?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. We'll be back in November.
All right.
For sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
And this is the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. You can watch live every Friday night, every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 at facebook.com/Gateway to the Smokies podcast. We are part of the talkradio.nyc network, which is a network of live podcasts that range from self-help to travel to small business to any number of things. And I think it's a worthwhile network to listen to. It's very grassroots, very, very rich in content and on-the-ground information that you'll find very interesting, whether you're traveling to the Smokies or traveling to New York City. It has some information that I think is worthwhile. I actually have another podcast on this network called Wise Content Creates Wealth, which is a marketing podcast, and that's on Fridays from 12 until 1. That'll probably be transitioning out in the near future, but you should catch some of the old episodes because it has a lot of the AI stuff going on now. I've interviewed many of the AI people out there, and they can you can learn a bit about what's going to happen with content and machine intelligence and artificial intelligence, which I think is good for everybody now. And it's been a pleasure talking here today with you guys, and I will see you next week with another great show. from 6 to 7 on Tuesday night with the Gateway to the Smokies podcast. Thank you very much.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.